This is the story of Esther. It takes place in the time of King Xerxes, who was also called Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was the son of Darius I, and he ruled over a great part of the world from India to the African land of Ethiopia. Ahasuerus, like his father before him, worshipped heathen gods, and he was said to be the tallest and the handsomest man in the empire. But he was also known to be the kind of man who acts on the spur of a moment, and often with terrible cruelty. On this day in Shunan, city of palaces and gardens, Ahasuerus was holding a fine feast. For 7 days, the tables in the royal gardens blazed with golden plates while the king's guests ate and drank and sang. On the 7th day, King Ahasuerus looked around at the feast, at the green and violet and sky-blue canopies hanging from the trees, and at the gold and silver divans on which his guests reclined, and he shouted, "You must see my queen, Vashti the Beautiful!" And he sent his servants to fetch her. Vashti would not come. She absolutely refused. For you see, in those days and in that land, a woman could be seen only by her husband. She never came out in public, and Vashti had no intention of breaking that rule. Well, the king was furious. A husband should be the ruler in his own home, and wives must obey him. Vashti shall not be the queen. She shall be driven from the palace this very night. And so she was. But soon Ahasuerus, alone in the big echoing halls, and the feast only a memory, became very lonely. "Oh, I must have another queen," he said. "Send my officers throughout the whole land, and let them bring me the most beautiful young girl of all. The most beautiful of all shall be my queen." The officers looked through all the empire, even in the house of old Mordecai, who lived near the palace. "Have you a daughter, Mordecai?" "I have no daughter, but my niece lives with me, a young orphan girl. Her name is Esther." Well, when the officers saw Esther, they commanded her to come to the palace because her eyes shone with beauty, and her long, dark hair floated like a mantle over her tall, proud shoulders. "Uncle Mordecai," whispered Esther, "what shall I do? The king would not want me for a queen, for I am a Jew, not a Persian." "Just do not tell him," said Mordecai. "Go and see what happens." So Esther went to the palace with the other beauties of the kingdom, and for 12 months they studied together the arts of charm and of manners, the gentle studies of a future wife of a king. Esther could not visit with her uncle, for women of the palace could not see other men, not even their own families. But every day he would walk under the windows, and she could wave to him and sometimes send him messages. The day of decision came. The girls stood before King Ahasuerus. The whole court held its breath. Ahasuerus lifted a golden crown from an ivory table near the throne. He carried it down the line until he stopped before the tallest and the most charming of them all. Slowly, carefully, he placed the crown on her head. And he said, "Your name?" "Esther, Your Majesty." "Esther, Queen of Persia," said the king. Meanwhile, old Mordecai waited nervously near the gate of the palace, impatient for news. And while he waited, he happened to hear two porters from the palace planning and plotting together to murder the king. Mordecai listened carefully, and when the wonderful word came that Esther was queen, her uncle sent this urgent message: "Tell the king that I have heard his porters plotting to kill him." The matter was investigated and found to be true. The porters were hanged. Mordecai received no reward, but at least the story of what he had done was written in the chronicles and the histories of the kingdom. In the court of King Ahasuerus, a man named Haman was the chief of all courtiers, a great favorite of the king. And Haman was extraordinarily proud, and he stroked oil in his hair, and he perfumed himself, and he held his nose very high. And everyone in the palace always bowed to him, worshipping him as if he were some kind of a walking god. Everyone bowed except Mordecai. Mordecai would kneel to no man, but only to God.
"Why do you not bow to me?" cried Haman.
"I am a Jew, sir. I bow only to the Lord God of Israel," said Mordecai, mildly but in a very firm tone. Well, Haman's anger thundered inside him like a herd of wild horses,
And he roared, I will have revenge. I will destroy Mordecai and all the other Jews too. The whole lot of them. I'll wipe them out. Haman went to the king. King Ahasuerus, he said, there is in your empire a group of people called Jews. They worship a strange god called the Lord, and they put him above you. They do? Asked Ahasuerus with a bored smile. These people are dangerous to the peace of the kingdom, dangerous to you, said Haman. Let me kill them all for you, as they deserve. Ahasuerus yawned. Jews? Oh, I don't know anything about them. I don't think I've ever even met one. But if they're as dangerous as you say, well, by all means, execute them. And Ahasuerus issued a royal decree that on a certain day all the Jews in the empire were to be put to death. No one, high or low, was to be spared. Mordecai was one of the first to read the proclamation. Everywhere the Jews were weeping. Families clustered together, hugging each other tight, praying together, wondering if there could be any escape from the massacre. Mordecai ran to the palace windows. One of Queen Esther's maids saw him and hurried out secretly. Give the queen this copy of the proclamation, and tell her that her people are all to be killed, and that she must go to the king herself and save them. Queen Esther's beautiful pink cheeks turned pale at the news. But I cannot go to the king. It's the law that no one may go to the king unless the king calls for him, and the penalty is death, unless the king holds out his golden scepter in pardon. I cannot go till he calls, and he has not called me in 30 days. Mordecai sent his answer. Esther, my own niece, do not think about saving your life alone. You yourself may die in this execution, I fear. You must save your people. Who knows, perhaps it was for this moment that God let you be chosen queen. Esther drew herself tall, and her heart beat fast. Tell Mordecai to gather all the Jews of Shunan together to pray for me 3 days and 3 nights. Then I will go to the king without his calling for me. And if I die, I die. 3 days later, Esther put on her royal gowns and went, uncalled and unannounced, to the throne room. There sat her stern, tall husband, the king who had sent one wife, Vashti, into exile for an even smaller offense. Ahasuerus stared at Esther as she stood in the doorway. His guards' hands flew to their swords. They knew the law. The silence was long while the king of Persia looked at his bold queen. Then, slowly, graciously, the scepter bent in gleaming splendor. Esther, said the king gently as she kissed the tip of the scepter. What would you ask of me? I will give you anything, half the kingdom if you want. All that I ask is that you and Haman with you will come to a fine dinner I have prepared, said Esther. So laughingly the king agreed, though he could not understand the ways of women. That night he and Haman both dined with the queen with fine food and gorgeous service and her maids to sing for them, and Haman was very proud to share in such an honor. But King Ahasuerus thought perhaps there still might be a favor the queen wished to ask. And because he loved her very much, he said, What would you like me to give you? What is it that you would ask? Even if you asked half my kingdom, I would give it to you. Esther smiled sweetly. I do wish to ask one thing. Will you both come and eat with me again tomorrow night? And then I will tell you, my king, what is in my mind. When Haman left the queen's banquet that night, he was vastly happy. But as he walked out through the palace gate, he saw old Mordecai sitting in the shadows, and Mordecai did not bow to him. Mordecai did not even move to stand up when the proud Haman walked by. At home, Haman said to his wife and friends, Queen Esther honored me by having me dine privately with her and the king. But my joy in that is destroyed by the insolence of that man Mordecai. Haman's wife took his arm. Why not order a gallows built, 75 feet high? Tomorrow ask the king to let you have Mordecai hanged from it, and then you can go to the dinner tomorrow night with a happy heart. That very night, Haman had the gallows built for Mordecai.
But the same night, King Ahasuerus found that he could not sleep. He tossed and turned on the silken pillows, and finally he sent to the library to bring histories and the chronicles of past years to be read to him. The servants read through the long black hours of night until they came to the place where it was recorded that a man named Mordecai had saved the king's life by overhearing a plot between two porters. Ahasuerus raised his sleepless head and said, "Mordecai? I do not even know who he is, and he saved my life? Was any reward given him?" "No reward at all, O king." When morning came, the king dressed and he went to his throne room. Almost immediately, there was a noise at the door. "Who is it that is coming to the court?" asked the king. The servants looked out and said, "It is Haman." "Well, let him come in," commanded the king. Haman stood before the throne, all ready to ask King Ahasuerus for permission to have Mordecai hanged, but the king spoke first. "Haman, tell me, what do you think should be done for a man whom the king wishes to honor?" Haman grinned. He was sure the king meant him. The man whom the king wishes to honor should be dressed in a king's robe and mounted on a king's horse and even wear the crown. And let the finest of the king's noblemen lead his horse through the city proclaiming that he should be honored." The king nodded. "Good. It shall be done. Haman, go quickly. Take the robe and the horse and do exactly as you have said, for I wish to honor the man called Mordecai, who, so I am told, sits in the gates of the palace. Be sure you do not leave out anything, for I wish to honor him very much." Haman gulped and trembled with white rage, but he had to obey. He had to put the purple robe on old Mordecai's shoulders and a crown on his head, had to help Mordecai into the saddle and lead his horse up and down the city streets, crying, "Honor this man, for this is the man honored by the king." And he had to lead the royal horse with Mordecai on it right past the towering gallows which he had built the night before. That night, Haman had to go again to dine with the king and the queen. The food was more sumptuous than before, the music sweeter, and Esther never looked lovelier, though her face was pale and wan. When the last orange was eaten, the last imported nut meat finished, the king said, "What is the favor you wish to ask of me, Esther?" Esther stood, her hands folded so that no one could see them tremble, and she said, "O king, if I have pleased you and found favor in your sight, I ask you to spare my life."
"Your life? Who threatens you?"
"My life and the life of my people, the Jews, I ask you to save, for we are doomed to death by an enemy whose cruelty has been approved by the word of the king."
"An enemy? The Jews I know about, but who dares to threaten you? Where is he?"
Esther pointed a tapering white hand at Haman. "The enemy is here." Carefully, quietly, she told the king all that Haman had planned to do. "There, outside the palace, is the gallows which Haman built and prepared for the death of Mordecai." The king stood and said, "Hang Haman from his own gallows." And the king sent out a new proclamation throughout the land, revoking the order of execution and promising to punish anyone who harmed the Jews. And the king brought Mordecai into the palace and gave him his own royal ring and a position of importance. And all the city rejoiced and was glad. And so, because of Esther, the beautiful, brave queen who saved her people, there is to this day a feast called Purim among the Jews, which celebrates the day of their reprieve. The name Esther meant star, and in the wondrous history of the people of the Lord, the orphan girl who became the queen still gleams.